want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It is again that time, for the Hour of Power, the TNT radio show, Tuesday Night Truth, on the Mighty View Matters radio network. I'm your host, Dale the Truth, and today's date is Tuesday, June the 10th. I had to think about it for a moment, making sure I'm looking at that correctly. Tuesday, June the 10th. Good to have you all here. Again, if you're interested in calling in, numbers as always across the country, 858-683-1326, 858-683-1326. So, we'll get started again tonight with This Week in History, and that starts with this week in 1943, going back about 71 years ago this week, the quote-unquote victory tax of October 1942 became a permanent income tax withholding. Where else in the United States can you have a tax on a victory that becomes a permanent income tax? But that happened this week in 1943. Also have the Virginia Declaration of Rights this week in 1776. And moving back up to the more modern day, you have the case of the Miranda versus Arizona reading of rights this week in 1966. Also got Flag Day coming up this week. So full calendar of patriotic history there when I look at the freedom calendar. And just want to get started with that. So we got a lot of news to cover, a short time to get there in. I guess the first thing I have to start with is we have this shooting in Las Vegas. Didn't really want to get started with this shooting, but a shooting in Las Vegas. And of course, you have the White House front group, Media Matters, exploiting it. And they're exploiting it in order to go after the Patriot Movement. Media Matters taking advantage of the Las Vegas, Nevada shootings to attack people like InfoWars, Alex Jones, and other Patriot people. These outlets are using the flawed logic of collectively blaming others. They love collectivism, of course. Collectively blaming others for the crimes of lone individuals, which we constantly see when gun owners are blamed for the actions of mass murderers, of course. They are also suggesting over at Media Matters that these shooters in Las Vegas, Jared and Amanda Miller, surprise, surprise, they're saying they represent everybody in the Liberty Movement. But again, a lot of us do not agree with violence. We want nonviolence. And there are even public posts, public record out on the internet where these people admit that most of us don't share their views. We want peaceful revolution. We want nonviolent arrest. No, we don't want any arrest. We want nonviolent demonstration. They're going to arrest you if you're violent, and many times they arrest you if you're not. But people, this is how you make a statistic of yourself and others who actually for Department of Homeland Security. They start this, you might be a terrorist if sick. It's heartbreaking, but it's not yet time to think such thoughts. You're much more useful as a living lion, if you will, instead of a dead lion. And it's pretty obvious to us and those of you in the audience that libertarians and constitutionalists do not agree with these violent efforts. But the established media still wants to falsely paint everyone in the Liberty Movement as responsible for the shooting. The junk food media, as I call them, they want to blame you all. I mean, this would be no different than blaming Facebook, and Facebook is pretty bad in its own. This would be no different than blaming Facebook for posts that users make on Facebook. So here you have this group that no doubt is a White House front group, Media Matters, and they put out a hit piece that went out yesterday. Yep, you know, yesterday. That was a little more than a hit piece intended to blame people like InfoWars and Alex Jones for the Miller's violent attack. They used the same logic, like I said earlier, when it comes to blaming firearms, not the shooters, mind you, but firearms for violent crimes. So that's where we start out at tonight. You got a lot of reasoning out there that should we hold police officers all responsible for Christopher Dorner's mass rampage last year when he became so angry with law enforcement over his alleged mistreatment by the LAPD. I mean, do we blame law enforcement in general for all these times we see police officers attack and kill innocent bystanders? No, we don't blame the whole police department. We're a little bit upset that the quote-unquote good cops don't stop the bad cops. That would be nice if the good cops would stand up and help us out. That doesn't happen very frequently. Again, you have a lot of things going on out there. They get mad at us in the Liberty Movement if we say that the country's being purposefully imploded. They get mad if we say that there could ever be false flags. They get mad that there could be things staged out there. They get mad if we tell you that all is not as it seems. So Media Matters simply takes advantage of a tragedy, another shooting, another killing, to further its agenda of targeting alternative media. We're the alternative online outlets. They don't want an alternative. They want the junk food media to feed you everything. Huffington Post, they're part of the problem too, but I will read this from a copy of what was provided to Huffington Post, that according to its strategic plan for the next 3 years, Media Matters envisions shifting its focus to new, increasingly influential targets, including social media streams, alternative online outlets, and entertainment sources. Well, the entire media is entertainment these days. Remember what went down when we had the standoff with the ranchers, and we talked about that big time, and you saw Harry Reid saying that this is not over. He was warning us that he had a plan, and the plan was to hold people like the ranchers responsible. He had a plan to make us out to be terrorists, to make anybody who is not down with the establishment and the junk food media to look out to be terrorists. And this all went on. Guess where this happened? That's right, Las Vegas, Nevada. That's Harry Reid's state. You see, for years, Harry Reid was the sheriff of Clark County in Las Vegas. You had the Las Vegas Metro Police Department all under the corrupt Harry Reid's control. Maybe you know about his son. His son is the same corrupt little psychopath as his daddy, who stole money from the properties, the casinos. And they forced companies like Pepsi's and others to throw money into their development authority. It was like their own little hush money, their own little mafia. See, Harry Reid wanted to be the boss of Vegas. He's not, mind you. But that's what Harry Reid wanted. Harry Reid just thought that if he could be the boss of Vegas, with kind of Howard Hughes money, that he could run it all. You see the connection here? They've been stealing for years and years from the people. They call it taxation. Look in the history books. Look at what's gone out in Vegas and how easy is it to see that Harry Reid said, this is not over. And here comes these situations out in Vegas. So I don't know really what went down. I don't know about the mind control that might have been involved with these guys. It'd be nice to see what kind of psychotic intakes they might be on, what kind of uppers or downers or antidepressants or anxiety pills that they might have been on. I haven't heard a lot about that yet. But remember, we talked about last week that the U.S. Attorney General, as I call him, the Attorney General, I call him the Attorney General, Eric Holder, he told us that if we look at the government as a threat that they're going to have to resurrect their program to thwart such enemy combatants. The Domestic Terrorism Executive Committee was created way back 19 years ago after the 1995 Oklahoma City bombings. Remember OKC? But, now here's the interesting thing, that Domestic Terrorism Executive Committee was scrapped soon after the 2011 terrorist attacks. And that's where intelligence and law enforcement officials shifted their focus to threats from outside the country. Maybe they should look at the people training the terrorists. Maybe they should look at the globalists who train such activity, but that can never happen, of course, because those are their masters. They're pulling the strings. They're the marionettes, and they're the puppet masters. But in a statement announcing the return of the Domestic Terrorism Executive Committee, Attorney General Eric Holder said he remains concerned about the specter of attacks prompted by extremists. And he said this committee will be tasked with identifying other threats. We must also concern ourselves with the continued danger we face for individuals within our own borders who may be motivated, wait for it, by a variety of anti-government causes and racial prejudice. You see, according to reports from Reuters, the American Civil Liberties Union is actually pushing back against the DOJ plan. They actually want to stand with us because the American Civil Liberties Union says that this could be a sweeping mandate to monitor and collect controversial speech. And you have some conservative groups that are alarmed on multiple levels. They see themselves as the target of an administration that disagrees with them adamantly, philosophically. But thought crime is terrorism now. Does this sound like 1984? Does this sound like the kind of stuff that they were warning us about in those books that we're not supposed to read in the indoctrination camps called public schools? It appears there's an attempt to marginalize people who hold views that are sharply different from those of the administration and much of the establishment, said Horace Cooper on the Project 21 National Advisory Board. And Project 21 is a network of black conservatives. Cooper said plenty of presidents deal with critical speech, particularly in opposition to the Vietnam War and even more recently the Iraqi War. He said no president has ever responded like this. So you have a black conservative leader saying this is unprecedented for our black presidents to behave this way. I might disagree a little bit with what Cooper says here, because Horace Cooper says we didn't arrest them due to their speech. We didn't try to prevent them from being able to express themselves on campuses, and we didn't try to prevent them from trying to enter into the public square. Well, I guess that's true, but just for being Japanese, people were put in camps. What do you want me to call them? Do you want me to call them prison camps? Do you want me to call them concentration camps? What's the politically correct term for the camps that they put Japanese Americans in? So they put them in camps. But Cooper is correct that we didn't prevent people from opposing the Vietnam War or the Iraqi War. He goes on to say this administration appears not to appreciate that lesson and says that the groups of people that are not within their perspective ought to be considered the very threat. So Project 21 is an interesting group, very informative. They're a very vocal critic of what they consider the administrative efforts to cloak their policies in the guise of racial equality. And Cooper said devoting resources to stopping threats based on racial prejudice is a solution in search of a problem. Can't disagree with that at all. I think he's right. He said, we're particularly bothered by mixing together so-called domestic insurrectionists and racists. There is simply no anti-black or anti-minority underground movement in America that is threatening in any way the stability of our government or the stability of local governments. There's just nothing like that. That's just a complete and total boogeyman. right. He's right about this. He says, when you see the administration talking as if the real threat is that if you're a young black male, you're going to be shot, you're going to be kidnapped, you're going to be forced to prison, there's simply no evidence to show that. No, he's exactly right, and there's actually evidence to the 180-degree opposite of that, which is all the black crime and black mobs that we've been talking about on this show. We're not supposed to talk about that, because that's not politically correct. Not even the Republicans have the backbone or the balls or the spine to tell the truth about the black crime epidemic. I would suggest that you all go and go to your favorite reading online site and maybe check out the book White Girl Bleed a Lot, because that book tells you about what's really going on with the black and white crime phenomena. And Cooper says that Eric Holder, your attorney general, Eric Holder, could solve this debate by compiling a report that would show the real number of racially motivated murders, kidnappings, and bombings. He said that that report will never come out because he thinks the real motivation for this committee and this policy is entirely political. And I think he's exactly right. And I think we'll go to the phone lines. I believe our good friend Paul from Stop Invisible Taxes is joining us. Paul, are you with us?
Good evening. Tuesday Night Truth is just as good as Thursday Night Truth. How you doing, Dale?
I appreciate it, Paul. How are you? What say you tonight?
You were musing just a few moments ago about domestic terrorism.
Yep.
And how our government seems to be unusually focused on their definition of domestic terrorism. They
yep.
don't, you know, I find that to be a little disingenuous simply because we revere domestic terrorists. We enshrine them. We have gigantic monuments dedicated to domestic terrorists. Or does our current day government forget the fact that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were in fact modern, was their era's terrorists? Did they forget that?
They don't like Washington and Jefferson, those guys. I mean, as you've said here on the airwaves yourselves, Paul, they're more along the line of the Tories. They don't like the modern day government doesn't like people like Jefferson and Washington. They see them as right wing extremists.
But for the sake of being consistent, wouldn't the government indoctrination camps have to get into some revisionist history and label them as terrorists?
You're looking for consistency out of this group, Paul.
But see, right now, the status quo on that point is serving their purpose, okay? And that purpose is they're keeping people who are marginal in line with the original story, and they don't dare make the academic connection between their current definition of domestic terrorism and what happened with the founders of this country, who were definitely, by their current definition, domestic terrorists.
Well, just look at the people that they consider, you know, honorable and upheld as heroes. If you go serve their military, I've said for a long time, even as a military brat, that if you join the Army today, you're serving the New World Order, not the United States agenda. But if you're one of theirs and you go off to their wars and you go off and fight their globalist battles, go see what General Butler said about that. And again, you come back and what happens when you come back to this country from fighting their wars? You don't get the support you're supposed to get. Look at what's going on in the VA hospitals around the country. And these are the ones who said, I'll do whatever it takes, include dying, for your government, for your big state, and this is the way they treat them when they come back. So, how, you know, if we're looking for consistency, they've got to ratchet it up a little bit. They've got to be even more oppressive towards those of us who don't go and serve their wars, Paul.
Well, but Dale, you're alluding to folks who, a lot of those folks that you're talking about, do have genuine love and concern over this country as it was founded.
Sure.
And there's still a fair number of under 35 somethings that have that same thought. The problem though is that keeps the peace enough that the elites can actually make advances in some of their other things. A friend of mine sent me an article. A fellow who I think you know, Paul Hossie, sent me an article.
Yep.
about a, and I forget the name of the guy that, that wrote it, but he's looking back throughout history of societies and has found an interesting parallel with what we're going through now, and that is the gap between the haves and the have-nots, between the elites and the common folks, is growing in this country. And that gap has been one the common element in all the collapses of all elite and advanced societies throughout the history of humankind. We've had civilizations far more advanced than our civilization fall because of economic collapse brought on by the growing disparity regarding the distribution of wealth between those who have, the elites, and those who have not. And this report went on to say that we could very well see the catastrophic, unrecoverable economic collapse in our society in as little as 15 years. 15 years, Dale.
I don't doubt that at all. And well, and again, it's kind of, as much as I can make it parlay into the piece I was going to talk about here at the bottom of the hour after the break, you and I have talked about how we have this fascist government, and you listen to the neocons, and I even heard one of them on the radio flipping through the dials, and AM radio is horrible. It's garbage. It's 99% neocons. Every now and then you'll get a truly patriotic show coming in between the big blowtorches of Clear Channel and the other corporatists. But we've talked about this corporatism, and, you know, I was listening to, and you've probably heard this guy before, he's a big Jewish neocon, Michael Medved. You heard this guy?
Oh, I've been following Michael Medved off and on for, good Lord, more than 10 years.
Well, he was on the radio yesterday, and I'm sure this is a normal routine for him. He was railing us how we've got to stand up, you know, against fascist regimes, blah, blah, blah. And I guess that was his kind of hidden way, his kind of sheltered way of saying we got to keep being involved in these globalist battles around the world where we send these soldiers to die in, and if they don't die, we come back and treat them like garbage. But I just thought about that because I thought you and I have talked about how we really do have fascism, and he is one of these neocons that waves that flag as long as the Republicans are in office, and he's sitting here saying that we're going to stand up against these fascists. And I guess it goes back for me to that famous quote about no one is more enslaved than those who think they are free. So they think they're free, and you get into this Judeo-Christian militarism where this U.S. foreign policy and the warfare state, there's this support, the militarism and the corporatism and the fascism all rolls in together. It's just steamrolling over any kind of sovereignty or any kind of rights. Am I wrong about that?
Well, the only thing you're missing in that was the inclusion of an entity that I don't think a lot of people think is part of the fascism, and that actually includes the churches.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't want to pick on the churches per se, but the churches in the United States, by and large, encourage giving to Caesar what is Caesar's and giving to God what is God. And,
yep.
And so they are, in fact, supporting the status quo, okay? And that, again, I think those in control, I think that they count on the churches kind of keeping the sheep in the pasture, okay? And keeping,
well, what's
interesting
about the giving to Caesar's thing, Paul, I'll just interject here, because I actually taught a Sunday school lesson about this probably a decade or more ago, trying to explain to people, and it was a lost cause because these are neocons, but you gotta try and try to explain to these people, if you're going to render to Caesar's what is Caesar's, well, we don't have a Caesar today. We have a Constitution. So in reality, if we're obeying the U.S. Constitution, I don't really think we're to obey it, but to recognize that it recognizes our rights. So in reality, our Constitution today is supposed to be our Caesar. So if we rendered into our Constitution what is right, we wouldn't even have taxation, Paul.
Well, you're not going to get any argument from me on
I mean,
following the Constitution.
Our Caesar is the Constitution. But you are exactly right. A lot of these churches think that you're supposed to just turn over and give all the money that you have to the government because, well, Jesus said, render to Caesar. They totally pervert that verse, and we don't have a Caesar today. I guess the Hillarys, you know, with them taking over CNN and their big book deals, they want you to think that it's a monarchy, but we're not supposed to have a Caesar. The government today is supposed to be a republic if we can keep it, Benjamin Franklin said. So if we're going to render into Caesar today, it would be obeying the Constitution. I don't think they have any desire to do that.
The people who were young adults during the 60s in the Vietnam War era, they took it upon themselves to try to whip the government into shape and get this Vietnam War issue solved once and for all. And I think that history has kind of judged them as having some success with that effort, okay? My question is, are we going to see the millennials, who are the ones that are responsible for not only Barack Hussein Obama being in the White House and being elected twice, but also for propping up the current fascist system? Are we going to see the millennials get the government whipped into shape, or are they basically going to go along to get along?
Well, the millennials are more suspect of organized religion. I think they have a right to be, because they see what happens at the top of these hierarchies, just like what happens in other hierarchies. And I just tell people, if they want to go out and do the research, we've just kind of hinted at this before on this show in the months and years past. There is a known effort of FEMA, good old FEMA, training pastors for preparation of martial law. We've talked about this, like I said, going back a year or two ago, where they were telling these pastors to prepare their flock. I mean, there's a reason they call them sheep, right? There's a reason they're the shepherd, and they have these sheep, as they call them in the church. And they wanted you to tell the pastors to preach good old Romans 13 about government submission. And it was coming out to be true, in fact, in reality, that a lot of pastors were being paid by FEMA to round up the church sheep. So isn't that nice and Christian?
Well, I like your analogy, and I think that is the role of churches in American society for sure, and that is to keep the sheep rounded up, if you will. Okay, don't let the sheep become renegades. So, I'm okay with that analogy, Dale.
Yeah, and that's about the best segue I can do about, because like I said, I have to do the bottom of the hour break, Paul. If you want to stick with us, that's fine. If you have no other obligations, but we're going to talk about the U.S. foreign policy and the warfare state and how you have this overwhelming support among the quote-unquote conservative Christians for American militarism. And the only thing that's stopping it now is because there's a guy with a D in front of his name in office, because we saw how gung-ho they were about these battles in the world when there was a guy with an R in front of his name known as W. So you're listening to the TNT radio show on the My View Matters Radio Network, and we'll be back. We'll be right back.
impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Well, we welcome you back, ladies and gentlemen. And Paul dropped off, so that gives you room to call in or rejoin us. For all the rest of you, it's 858-683-1326. If you're already one of the guys over there on the show panel here, I guess the switchboard, as they call it, and you want to get on the air, just press the number one key, and we will put you in. If you wanted to listen, that's fine, too. You are listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. Shows on this network Sunday through Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern each night. And I was teasing this before the break that I wanted to talk about a book, or I guess you would call it a set of books, companion set of books that is out new. And this is from Lawrence M. Vance. If anybody has ever heard of Lawrence M. Vance, he writes for the Classic Reprint series and is the director of the Francis Whalen Institute, has degrees in history, theology, accounting, and economics, and the author of 23 books. Unless people think he's some anti-Christian person, he has also appeared in a diverse group of publications, including the Ancient Baptist Journal, Bible Editions and Versions, the Journal of Libertarian Studies, the Journey of the Grace Evangelical Society, and the Review of Biblical Literature. Now, right to the point, he has these books out called War, Christianity, and the State, Essays on the Follies of Christian Militarism and the Follies of War in U.S. Foreign Policy. These are two books, two companion books. And, you know, if you're a Christian warmonger, quote unquote, or you're one of these red state fascists, you might support the current U.S. foreign policy and the actions of the U.S. military. If you get your news from the Fox War Channel or the Wall Street Journal, maybe you need to read Mr. Vance's books, War, Christianity, and the State. In chapter one, Vance talks about Christian enthusiasm for war and how the military is shown to be an affront to the Savior, contrary to Scripture, of course, and a demonstration of the profound ignorance many Christians have of history. In chapter two, Vance goes over the Christianity and military. The idea that Christians should have anything to do with the military is asserted to be illogical, immoral, and unscriptural. In chapter three, Christianity and the Warfare State, it is argued that Christians who condone the warfare state, its senseless wars, its war on a tactic, you know, terrorism is a tactic. And we keep hearing about the war on terrorism. It's nebulous crusades against quote-unquote evil. It's aggressive militarism. It's intervention into the affairs of other countries. And its expanding empire have been duped. See, Vance writes as a conservative evangelical fundamentalist Christian. And you all may not know it because the churches you've been attending probably don't talk about the stuff that he does. But again, he has degrees in history, theology, and economics. His main message in War, Christianity, and the State is that if there is a group of people that should be opposed to war, torture, militarism, and the warfare state, with its suppression of civil liberties, imperial presidency, government propaganda, and interventionist foreign policy, it should be the Christians. The Christians should be the ones who are opposed to such perverted justice. Now, we won't get into perverted justice, like the St. Louis Archbishop this week, who claimed that he didn't know that it was against the law for priests to have sex with children. Can anybody really be that stupid, or are they just hoping that you're stupid enough to buy their ignorance? He didn't know that when priests go and molest and rape little boys, that it was illegal. That's what the St. Louis Archbishop Robert Carlson testified to. So that's something for all you Catholics to think about and wonder what your opinion is of that. I'd love to hear it. But Lawrence Vance, in these books, he's saying that the Christians, and especially conservative evangelical fundamentalist Christians who claim to strictly follow the dictates of Scripture and worship the Prince of Peace, should be against these gods of war. Vance sharply rebukes the supporters of the warfare state, and he illustrates the follies and horrors of war. That's the name of the book. It actually says in the subtitle, The Follies of Christian Militarism and the Follies of War. He points out the good old neocon-dominated Republican Party and those who believe anything that comes from Fox News or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly. He talks about the fact that these Christians claim to worship the Prince of Peace, but they wholeheartedly endorse acts of war against other people in the form of war. He calls such Christians Christian killers to illustrate the contradiction. While some Christians may in fact be opposed to the numerous wars of aggression entered into by the U.S. government, they almost to a person, quote, support the troops, unquote. Because, you know, the troops are just following orders, and they're justified in their killings of those who have not actually attacked the U.S. homeland. And Vance admits that killing in genuine defense of one's life or family is justified, but he also argues that killing other human beings, Christian or not, merely because the government labels them as, quote, the enemy, unquote, is not justifiable. It is murder. Now, this is where he's really going to piss some people off, because Vance believes that Christians should not serve in today's military. And he says that if they're already in the military, they should refuse to kill people in wars of aggression, no matter what the consequences. That's controversial, I understand. Most people, Vance elaborates, will say the troops are not responsible because they're just following orders. And that's what we heard from the stormtroopers in the Third Reich under Hitler. They were just following orders. This is where we get back to the good old evangelical Christian agreement that you've got to obey the powers that be. Well, here's the problem I have with obeying the powers that be. When I looked in my Bible, folks, I don't know about yours, there are lots of different Bibles out there, and I don't talk about religion a lot on this show, so stick with me for a second. But when I look in my Bible, it says that only God should be obeyed 100% of the time without question. If the U.S. government tells you to kill your parents, any American would be outraged if they were under the circumstances to go and do it. But the government tells you to put on a uniform and go and kill some Iraqi's mother, then the Americans will put that yellow ribbon on their car and say, we've got to support those troops. I'm a military brat, folks. I'm a military family member, and I think that the way you support those troops is to bring them home. War, Empire, and the Military is a collection of 127 advanced essays written over the last 10 years, all of which appear on lewrockwell.com. Vance notes of the seven chapters, chapter one, War and Peace, where the evils of war and warmongers and the benefits of peace are examined. In chapter two, the military, the evils of standing armies, you know, what Washington was against, George Washington was against a standing army, remember that. takes a critical look at the U.S. military in Chapter 3, The War in Iraq, The Wickedness of the Iraqi War is Exposed. And then here we go. This is going to be controversial. Chapter 4, he talks about World War II, the good war, quote unquote, shown not to be so good after all. And then he gets into Chapter 5, other wars, where he talks about the Crimean Wars, the Russo-Japanese Wars, World War I, the Persian Gulf War, the war in Afghanistan, and on and on and on and on, ad nauseum. But according to Vance, the underlying theme in this collection of essays is opposition to the warfare state that robs us of our liberty, our money, and in some cases, our life. We just talked about this with Paul, about the guys who come back to the VA hospitals and they're left to die. So you either die on the battlefield or you come back home and die. It doesn't seem very promising, either option, does it? But these quote-unquote conservatives who decry the welfare state, but they support the warfare state. They're terribly inconsistent. The two are inseparable. Libertarians who are opposed to war on principle, but will support the state's war on terrorism, is also likewise contradictory. So this is a great study, War, Empire, and the Military, and it's a must-read for anyone who supports these foreign policies that the U.S. government has. Vance even begins the book by explaining the views of classical Western thinkers and the views of the Founding Fathers regarding war, empire, and military, telling how the early Americans were very much opposed to the modern warfare state with its foreign entanglements, foreign wars, massive military budgets. After all, the U.S. military, Vance says, throughout both his books, is now used for everything but its original purpose, the defense of the United States and securing of our national borders. In addition to giving detailed accounts of why many of the wars of the past two centuries were actually fought, not the reasons given in your government indoctrination camp classes, Vance includes a number of essays that depict the horrors of war from the perspective of soldiers on the battlefield. Now, make no doubt about it, folks. These are controversial books, these two books that are put out by Lawrence M. Vance. One called War, Christianity, and the State, Follies of Christian Militarism. One called War, Empire, and the Military, Follies of War in U.S. Foreign Policy. It's controversial. Many conservative Christians will vehemently disagree with his views on the military and war in general. In fact, Vance mentions the criticism he receives from many Christians, who of course never went into the military, for his opposition to U.S. foreign policy and the warfare state. You know, I talked about this, folks, back a couple of years ago, the last time that Ron Paul ran for president. You look at all those Republican debates. Let me pull up the list of candidates again. Republican candidates for president, 2012. You look at everybody who showed up in those debates, and we're very surprised they even let Ron Paul in the debates. Guess who the only one up there with military experience was? The only one up there, when you look at this list, you had Mitt Romney, you had Gary Johnson, who I didn't have a problem with. He was very constitutional on his own. But you had Newt Gingrich, you had Rick Santorum, you had Rick Perry, you had Michelle Bachmann, you had Herman Cain. My gosh, you had a big crowd of people. The only one with military experience was Ron Paul. Same goes for the abortion argument. The neocons love to talk about how important it is to be pro-life. Ron Paul was an OBGYN, folks. He freaking delivered babies, thousands of them, over his lifetime. So the same neocons who claim that the important things are being pro-life and having a military history and somehow being Protestants totally turned their backs on the guy who was pro-life and had a military history and was Protestant. So this all ties back in here together. Because if you're a conservative Christian, quote unquote, and you support the military-industrial complex, and you support the American warfare state, we're going to have some sharp criticism for you. We're going to have some disagreements. Love to get your thoughtful responses on future shows. Love to have some of the neocons call in and tell me why they love to kill people in other countries. But there's a lot of military personnel who agree with the author here, Lawrence Vance. There are a lot of military personnel who are open-minded and genuine Christians and who would like to have our troops come home to our shores and to do what the Constitution said was the job of the U.S. military and not to be going around the world in the name of peace building or peacekeeping or democracy or, dare I say, empire building. Again, it's controversial when you say things that aren't normally heard, but you got to change sometime. You've got to turn around and get out of the bizarro world at some point and bring it back to reality. The warfare state is part of the problem, not part of the solution. And we know that we're not the first ones telling you about this. We know that the military-industrial complex was warned. It was warned to you. It was warned to you by Dwight D. Eisenhower when he left our country's presidency 53 years ago. He made it very clear the dangers and the increasing power of the military-industrial complex. He warned us about it. He warned us it was a threat to our form of government. He warned us it was a formidable union that was going to be built of contractors and the armed forces. In his valedictory, Ike famously warned against unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. You can keep being one of the sheep, folks, who wants a shepherd who's paid by the government to lead you astray right into the frying pan, if you will, or you can think for yourself. You can decide, I'm going to decide that A equals A and B equals B and 2 plus 2 equals 4. I'm going to stop believing the lies. I'm going to stand up and say death to the New World Order.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.